it said that a picture is worth a thousand words. In the 128th Psalm, the psalmist uses 46 words in the Hebrew text to paint for us a picture of blessedness. Lord willing, we'll look at the first four verses of this psalm this morning, the first 31 words, if you please, and then next Lord's Day, the last 15 or the last two verses. And I'm choosing to do it this way because the phrase, "who fear the Lord, who fear Yahweh," is a picture frame, if you please, around the first four verses. And so we have before us blessedness pictured. Let's turn then, please, in our Bibles to Psalm 128. If you're using the Bible in the pew, it's found on page 968, Psalm 128. Hear God's word as I read for us those six verses. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do ask again that you would help us to appreciate this picture that you've painted for us through your servant. And we ask that we might find ourselves enframed by what we will consider. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this psalm, we will see when blessedness is pictured, it contains happy people. When blessedness is pictured, it contains happy people. And therefore, it behooves us to ask the question, what constitutes a happy people? The dictionary says a happy person is one favored by circumstances. Such a person will have, show, or cause a feeling of great pleasure, contentment, joy, exactly appropriate to the occasion. In order to appreciate how this psalm pictures blessedness as containing happy people, we need to begin with a Hebrew word lesson. A Hebrew word lesson. There are two words in the Hebrew language which convey the notion of blessedness. One of those words is Barak, B-A-R-A-K, Barak. And this word is used with reference to God bestowing upon people, places, or things a blessing. It's used of people who, in turn, bless God. And it's used when it's used of human beings blessing another human being, always of the greater to the lesser, the older to the younger. It primarily carries the connotation of a benediction at the end of the service, right? The Lord bless you, Barak. The Lord bless you by causing his face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you. Barak, blessing. The other Hebrew word is ashar, A-S-H-A-R, ashar. And this word is not generally used with reference of God to human beings. It's not generally used with reference of us unto God. The word asher is used with reference to humankind because we have done something. Because we have done something. So Ashar carries the connotation of congratulations. Congratulations. And we can understand how Ashar then is very circumstance-oriented. If we have done something well, we are congratulated. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure any time you receive congratulatory comments, you're happy, right? You're happy. You have joy appropriate to the circumstance. Congratulations. That word, then, we'll see, is used twice in these first four verses of Psalm 128. And I find it interesting that the 1611 King James translation of this psalm uses the word happy where ashar is found in our text at the second place. The King James will use the word happy where we find the word translated blessings there in the second verse. Therefore, again I submit, in this psalm we see when blessedness is pictured, it contains happy people. So first then we see a happy person likened. To what is a happy person likened? Well, there are two fundamental characteristics which describe, tell us what a happy person is like. And a shar person, we find, first of all, is one who fears Yahweh. I already mentioned that, didn't I? Blessed, happy, ashar, are all who fear the Lord. God-fearers, the psalmist says, are ashar. Now, if a person fears Yahweh because he knows his sins condemn him to hell, such a person is not a happy person. The truly blessed person sings Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, wholeheartedly. If you, Yahweh, keep a record of sins, Yahweh, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. We who appreciate the forgiving grace of God in our lives are therefore God-fearers and therefore happy. Dr. Gill puts it this way. fear of the Lord is filial fear and supposes knowledge of God as a father of his love and grace in Christ, particularly of his forgiving love from whence it arises. A holy, humble, fiducial fear of God, a reverential affection for him and devotion to him. To fear Yahweh is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for one's salvation. Does it not make you happy to think of your right standing before God in Christ Jesus? Does it not make you happy to think of our being forgiven of our sins and having the wrath of God that our sins deserve turned away from us, borne by Jesus as he suffered on the cross? Doesn't it lift the corners of your mouth to know that in Yahweh, as we confess our sins, we are forgiven and washed clean from those sins? Do you fear Yahweh? Are you happy in that circumstance of the right standing that we enjoy before God in Christ Jesus? Secondly, a happy person's likened to a person who walks appropriately, who walks appropriately. It's not enough for us to say we have Jesus as our Savior according to Psalm 128. Of course, according to all of Scripture, it's not enough to say I have Jesus as my Savior. But particularly we find here in Psalm 128, that just isn't enough. Blessed are all who fear Yahweh, who walk in his ways. If we have indeed denied ourselves, taken up our cross, we follow Jesus. He is the way. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our lifestyle reflects that by our walking in Christ by faith through grace. A happy person is one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. A happy person is one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and reflects that by obedience. So, obviously, it bears asking the question, are you a happy person because of your circumstance with reference to your Creator and Sustainer? Is He your Redeemer? Now, not only is a happy person likened in this passage, but a happy person is lavished in this passage. To live a gospel-driven life will mean that we experience a taste of the curse of our fall into sin being lifted. And again, there are two aspects of our everyday life that are referenced here with respect to the lifting a bit of the curse of sin. That aspect of work and the aspect of family. First of all, work. When we enjoy the fear of the Lord, and are walking in His way, our work will be characterized by happy and good. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings, ashar, and prosperity, tov, will be yours. I trust you are as encouraged as I am to see that the labor of our hands will bring forth fruit. When we fell into sin, God said that our labor will take on sweat. It will be arduous because there will be thorns and thistles. But when we cultivate God's workplace as God intends it to be cultivated, instead of thorns and thistles choking out the labor of our hands, the labor of our hands becomes fruitful. Now let's face it, if you're a gardener and you've planted your seeds and you begin to see weeds growing up where those seeds are planted, if you want that garden to be fruitful, what must you do? Cultivate. Take out the weeds so that the seeds will grow and be fruitful. The psalmist tells us that will be the result of our labor. When we do it in the fear of the Lord, when we do it in the way of the Lord, our work will be happy. Ashar. And it will be good. Prosperity is the way the NIV translates it. This word that here is translated prosperity punctuates the first chapter of Genesis. The word tov is translated good. And so after each of the days, God says, tov. And in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, He says, very tov. Now, how about that? Does it make you happy? As the psalmist will talk about the fruit of our labor as being tov, prosperous, good, as image bearers of God. Our labor, when it's done by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, is tov. Just as God's work was when He spoke and it came into being. Does that make you happy? To think of the fact that what we do can be referred to as what God did when He created all things. When you go out into the marketplace Monday through Friday, and you labor by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you ought to be happy with the fruit that your labor brings, because you recognize God will establish that work of your hands as good. And then the second aspect of everyday life that our passage touches is family. And there He speaks about family, fruitful and health. Fruitful and health. Yes, childbearing will increase in pain after the fall. However, for those who are in Christ, happy are they whose wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. We're aware of this from Psalm 127. Parents are especially blessed to have children when they are young, for many reasons, not the least of which is the security that those children will provide their parents when we, as their parents, become old enough that we need to be cared for. Because children born in our youth will grow up and be mature enough by the time we need their help and established enough to be able to offer us the help that we need. Now, I'm not going to go into the responsibility that we as children have to care for our parents when they get old. Rather, parents, don't be so self-sufficient when you get old and need help to not ask your children for that help. I'm thinking of a dear couple in my first pastorate. Who, if I remember the story correctly, took, I think, a parent on the honeymoon. Now, that's a little much, okay? But the reason they did is because that parent needed attention. And they determined before they were married that they would care for that parent. And they talked to me about how much they delighted in having that opportunity to care for that parent until that parent died. And I said to the father, the husband, "So which of your children are you looking forward to helping you when you need help?" You know what the answer was? "I'm not going to do that to any of my children." Well, you know, God has provided an RP home. And many of us are delighted that we may have our parents spend the latter days of their life there. One of the blessings that God tells us, one of the things that brings happiness into our lives, is to know that He gives us children who, when we are in our days of need, they will be there for us. They will be there for us, just as we are there for our parents. So a house full of them, many hands make light the work. How many of us think of those retired parents who are able to go from one child's house to another child's house? She'll be like a fruitful vine in your house. Happiness comes through the multiplicity of olive plants. And I'm suggesting health because, contrary to the image of the children in Psalm 127 where they are arrows, here they are olive plants. When you think of arrows, you think of weapons against the enemy. You think of conflict. You think of an unhealthy situation. But when you think of your table encompassed by olive plants, it's a healthy situation. It's a fruitful situation. It's a prosperous situation. It's an ashar situation. The lavishness of God's grace upon a happy people. Now, it behooves us to notice carefully that there, in the fourth verse, the second reference to those who fear Yahweh, Thus is the man blessed. And here it's Barak who fears the Lord. There's only one man who truly enjoyed the Barak of God. And that's the man, Jesus. Because he truly knew and experienced and lived the fear of Yahweh. And who truly walked in the ways of Yahweh. And you see, he is the one who enjoys the fruit of his labor. As he sweat those drops of blood facing the cross. And he would take himself to that cross, that he would lay down his life, that work of obedience to his Father, that he might receive the fruit of that labor. Those whom the Father would give to him, as the Holy Spirit would apply to them that redemption that Jesus secured. You then, who by the grace of God have placed your faith in Christ Jesus, are among the first fruits of him who came forth from the grave. You are the results of the labor of his hands. You are the sons and daughters, but even greater than that, you're his bride. And you will stand at his side when he comes at the end of the age and takes us as his bride and presents us to God, that God will be all and in all. And so, of course, we all confess that our happiness is short-lived on a day-by-day basis this side of the new heavens and the new earth. And that's why we must remember the eschatological nature of the songs of ascent. Ultimately, they are pointing us in the direction of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we will know the fullness of joy. True and lasting happiness will be ours because our circumstance will not change. I'm not happy to struggle through the cold that I have to stand before you this morning and preach this message. It doesn't make me happy. But I'm the happiest of persons because I know where I am with reference to salvation in Jesus Christ. And so this mere moment of affliction that saps me of happiness because of that circumstance will not take away my face from that picture of blessedness that this psalm paints for us. Because in Christ, I couldn't be any happier. How about it? The circumstances of every moment of the day may not bring happiness, but underlying every one of those is the circumstance of our position in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we are happy.
So biblically speaking, we await that ultimate congratulation that we will enjoy either when we die and go to be with the Lord, or the Lord returns. That ultimate congratulations that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest." If you're struggling with happiness, I'll be happy to talk with you. But I'll tell you this, you won't know happiness if you're not living in Christ Jesus by grace through faith. If you're not living a gospel-driven life, you won't know the happiness that these 31 words have just painted for us. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for this picture. Help us, our Father, to be a people, when we think of that, to have our mouths smiling. That picture of happiness that would become contagious to those about us who live from circumstance to circumstance, looking for happiness in the things of this life. When true happiness is only found with a right relationship to Jesus Christ and therefore the triune God. Thank you for those of us who by grace through faith know Christ. And may we reflect the happiness that comes through that salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.